June 13th, 2001. "So the question, Mr. Erdai," said Muriel, "the real question is, were you lying then, or are you lying now?" Even before Harlow had told her to proceed, Muriel had taken her place in front of Erno, reminding Larry of a boxer off his stool prior to the start of a round. "Then," said Erno. "Well, let me make sure I understand what you're telling us," Muriel said. "You're telling us that you killed three people in July of 1991, and 3 months later the police hadn't caught you, right?"
"True."
"Did you want to get caught?"
"What would you think?"
"I think you would have done anything not to be apprehended. Is that fair?"
"That's about the size of it."
"You had many friends on the force, didn't you?"
"Many."
"So you knew the investigation was stillborn, correct?"
"Does that mean dead?"
"Let's say dying."
"Dying's about right."
"So if you'd actually killed those people, you had every reason to believe you were going to get away with it, correct?"
"Realistically, yeah. But I was still worried."
"Right. You were worried, and despite that, even though you knew the investigation was dying, you decided to provide information that would revive it. Is that what you're saying?"
"Because of my nephew."
"And you didn't provide an anonymous tip. You went right to Detective Starcheck."
"He came to me, but it's the same difference."
"Same difference," said Muriel. She was prowling now, moving back and forth. "Is he a good detective?"
"One of the best."
"And would you agree that good detectives usually know when they're being spun?"
"If they know to look out, sure. But nobody's got the radar on 24/7.
"But not only did you wake up this sleeping investigation, you did it, you say, by lying to someone who you knew was good at seeing through lies, right?"
"You can put it your way," said Erno.
"And then you had your nephew lead the police to a cameo, knowing that if Gandalf told the truth, he could very well mention your name. Is that right?"
"I just said he was full of it and just throwing my name around because he'd found out somehow that I was the one who put the cops onto him. I thought about that."
"And you thought that lie would be convincing?"
"Sure."
"Because you know how to lie convincingly, don't you?"
Harlow sustained Arthur's objection before Erno had to answer, but the judge appeared to smile at the art of the question.
"Now, you told us yesterday that you understood that your nephew would get nothing from the police or the prosecutors unless Gandalf was convicted, right? Yet you had no way of predicting, for example, whether Gandalf had an alibi, did you?"
"I knew he'd been around the airport to steal Luisa's cameo."
"In the summer? I thought Gandalf was at the airport only when the winter weather forced him out there."
Erno made a face. He tried to squeeze past Muriel, and she'd stopped him cold. After a little more squirming, he agreed that he couldn't have been sure about whether Squirrel had an alibi, and that he had said that Gandalf was at the airport in the winter.
"So this is how it adds up, Mr. Erdai," said Muriel, and counted off each of her points on her fingers. "Although you didn't want to get caught, you breathed new life into a dead investigation. You did that by lying to an investigator who you knew was good at catching liars, and you pointed him towards someone who, in fact, could connect you to one of the murder victims. And you did all of that, not even knowing if the man you say you were framing had a locked alibi. Do you understand now why we shouldn't believe you?" Arthur objected at volume for the first time, and the judge said, "Sustained." Muriel strolled back to the podium to glance at her notes, then stared for a full beat at Erdai. "Let's talk about the crime for which you're imprisoned, Mr. Erdai."
"What's that got to do with the price of beans?"
"As a matter of fact, you're in prison only because your friends on the police force didn't back you up. Isn't that right?"
"I'm in prison because I shot a man."
"But you told the officers who were at this tavern, Ike's, where the shooting took place, you told them you pulled the trigger in self-defense, didn't you?"
"To my way of thinking, it was."
"Was it disappointing to you that none of them supported you in saying this was self-defense?"
"Not when I had a chance to think about it."
What about Detective Starcheck? Larry sat up on reflex at his name. Was he another of your friends on the force?
Larry, I've known him going on 30 years. We were cadets together.
And the letters you wrote to Detective Starcheck? You never wrote him telling him you killed anyone, did you?
Told him I needed to talk to him.
Didn't you tell him straight out you wanted his help?
I might have.
Now, at the time you wrote Detective Starcheck, you wanted to get into a medium security facility, didn't you?
Well, my lawyer tried to arrange that, and when he couldn't, I asked some guys could they help.
Are you telling us, Mr. Erdai, that you thought you'd get to a medium security facility by informing Detective Starcheck that you'd committed a brutal triple murder?
When I wrote to Larry, I'd basically given up on medium. Correction says you're in maximum if you committed an offense with a firearm, period.
And can you give us the name of anyone on the force who tried to get the corrections department to make an exception on your behalf?
Erno was cooked on this one, because he knew no one would come to court to back him up. In answer to Muriel, he said he didn't recall.
And no matter why you wrote to Detective Starcheck, we agree you never mentioned these killings, correct?
True. I told him I had to talk to him about something important.
He didn't respond.
Right.
He didn't want to deal with you now that you couldn't do him any good. Is that how you felt?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Muriel went to Larry for a copy of the letter Erno had written to Gillian, then gave it to the witness.
Did you write to Judge Gillian Sullivan that the detective on the case had no interest in you, quote, now that you can't do him any good?
Erno read it over several times.
That's what it says here.
Would you say that you were resentful? Asked Muriel.
Call it what you want.
I'll call it resentful, said Muriel.
Harlow sustained the objection, but he smiled.
Muriel then began to question Erno about his relationship with the gangster Outlaws, one of the street gangs that dominated the prison at Rudyard. This was information that Larry had worked most of the night developing, and Muriel laid it out nicely. Erno had gotten on with a G.O. cellmate and had eventually fallen under the protection of the gang, for whom Erno was thought to occasionally obtain information from old pals in law enforcement. Erno would not acknowledge the last part.
Well, do you know, Mr. Erdai, that there have been several cases where members of the gangster Outlaws who were incarcerated have provided false confessions to crimes other GOs were accused of?
I've heard that, said Erno.
And have you also heard, Mr. Erdai, that the GOs control Death Row at Rudyard?
I know. There's a lot of them there.
Including Mr. Gandalf?
I wouldn't know about that.
Well, Mr. Erdai, are you telling us that, given your experience in the institution, if somebody from the GOs who've protected you wanted you to tell a story, especially a story that wouldn't hurt you, but that would hurt Detective Starcheck and the police force who'd let you down, are you really telling us you have too much integrity to do that?
Arthur had come to his feet long before Muriel finished. He quietly said, objection, and Harlow quickly responded, sustained. But Muriel had essentially given her closing argument for the press.